Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard. Going right into the Bible tonight, part two, the Ring of Fire. We want you to call a friend and tell them that we're on the air tonight. Do yourself a favor by getting this truth out. We believe very timely information tonight. We're getting into the message tonight. We're going to go straight into the scriptures for our text tonight. And it's located, of course, in the fearful book of Revelations. Now, the Bible says in the last days that fearful times will come. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I wonder how that they knew that. Back 2,000 years ago, when Christ was walking the earth, he stated in Matthew chapter 24, the very end time events, because the apostles asked him directly a question, what will be the sign of your coming in the last days? Well, of course, he gave a famous discourse, as you very well know. And one thing that he warned us about was, let no man deceive you. Let no man lead you into a false sense of security. Do not trust the world or anyone in it. Trust only, the Bible said, vain is the help of man. And the Bible said, they that put their confidence in flesh shall be measured in the balance and come up wanting. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is signs, predictable signs in the last days. And one of those signs is fearful things will be seen in events leading up to the beginning of the end. Now, we're going to Revelation 17, to the great mystery of Babylon the Great. And we're going to look at the forehead of the great harlot. And we're going to really get into the scriptures that will tell us exactly what is wrong with the system that is going down in these last days. And that system is what we would describe as the mark of the beast. Now, if we can see a little ahead in the scriptures and see the indication of times and the dividing of times, where we understand the word that is written within the context of our understanding, here's what we've got to do. We've got to search the scriptures for wherein we think we have eternal life, and we don't have any. So, in that day, the Bible says that the war of Armageddon will come upon us. Now, we're going to talk about, in the Ring of Fire, the times of persecutions of the people of the Holy One. We're talking about, of course, the people of Jacob Israel. Praise Yahweh. So, now, let's go to our text tonight. We're going to talk about, in the Ring of Fire, digital angels. Now, I know that's going to sound strange to you, but we're going to talk about the electronic apparatuses that they have to communicate, not to your own good, but to your destruction. Now, we have what we would describe as the times preceding the events of the last days. when we're coming up to implants. And we're going to talk about implants tonight and their effect, what we think that the chip implants are going to do to help you or to push you or to nudge you toward a collective one mind to accept a one world leadership order. Now, we need a willing, if you will, people that will follow after the beast. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says, and these shall wander after the beast. Now, what will happen? Well, the beast will deceive, the Bible says, the very elect, if it's possible. Now, I want you to really think about it right now. What are the consequences of you taking the mark of the beast? Well, it's true that the Bible said whoever took the mark was cast into the lake of fire. Well, that's the consequences, ladies and gentlemen. Now, is it going to be a digital chip? You know, when the Social Security cards came out, I believe in 1930s, I think around 33, somewhere around there, maybe in 37, I can't remember exactly, but it was early on in 30s, that everybody began to fear that since we had to have a number, that that could possibly be the mark of the beast, and a lot of people refused it. Well, now today that we're in the computer age technology, the mark of the beast has become a very, very fearful thing to think about. Now, let's think about the consequences, like I say, of taking the mark. And we've done got into the 9/11 mystery, the prophetic ramifications of September the 11th in the year 201. Matter of fact, we were doing a series back in 201 right here on WWCR around the world about this very same problem that we're still dealing with today. Now, what happened after 9/11? Well, great fear, panic. We began to see Homeland Security, and you don't want to miss part three when Pastor Buddy will get into concentration camps that are built now, even as we speak, some are still in the process of being built. We're going to cover that in part three. This is part two of the Ring of Fire. We're going to get into some very exciting, fearful, if you will, information concerning places prepared for those who will not take the mark or those who will not go along with the ideal of the New World Order. Now, we're going to talk about some positive things, believe it or not. Now, you see, before you're going to buy a bill of goods, you're going to have to be convinced that it's good for the people and good for mankind. And that's the overall riding factor. They want to make you aware of the system that is going to benefit you and your fellow neighbor or mankind in particular with the barcode possibilities. We've got the chip implant digital control possibilities, and that's why we call this message of part two of the Ring of Fire the digital angel revelation. Now, we're talking about satellites that are parked in the heavens. They're beaming back to Earth at particular points of interest around the world where they can receive these signals. And ladies and gentlemen, they can magnify, if you will, a small print. They can actually take a pack of cigarettes and they can then identify the name of cigarettes that you're smoking from 22,000 feet in the air. I'm telling you, or 22,000 miles. Is that right? Wally's here with me. And he's a radio technician, so he knows all about electronics. So what we're talking about tonight is a fearful thing, the beast and its powers that will increase in the last days. Now, a lot has been said about the product identification codes, and you know some of the barcodes are actually for the computer convenience. A six is a major number for computers, so 666 would be a natural number, and they've got it on there. You can see the barcodes as they go into the scanning system of a computer tracking system, and the first three digits of that barcode, amazingly, is 666. But whether that's on purpose or whether it's conspiratorial or whether it's prophetic biblical fulfillment will remain to be seen as we go down the narrow quarter, if you will, of time, as now everything's coming into a black and white issue. Now, what about the GPS systems that are mounted in your vehicles? We're being told that these chip implants would help people with Alzheimer's or diabetes or any serious ailment, and these would trigger certain codes and alert the medical system for your own benefit. Now, how are you going to fight a deal like that? You can't fight against progressive, if you will, social justices of conveniences that we didn't have before. For instance, we've come a long way since the Wright brothers made their famous flight in an airplane. Look how far we've advanced. We've advanced from barely going up for a few seconds to where that we're now sailing into outer space and even to travel into other systems in the heavens. Well, what about the GPS systems, the locations? They're good to have on your automobiles, they tell us. A lot of people now are especially ordering these. I believe that they will be standard issue. Within 5 years, everything will have the GPS tracking system. That means the global position system. They can identify you if your automobile is stolen or if you wreck and you're out on a rural area. I just made headlines in the news that this woman had ran off the road and had an accident, and her baby lived amazingly for 10 days off of some foodstuffs that was in the automobile while her mother was dead. She waited to be rescued, and it took 10 days. Amazing. But they said if this tracking system had been on board, then they would have known instantly at some point, reference point, to where that they had this accident. Well, these are positive things that could help all of mankind in a positive way. But now let's look at some of the negative things that it could get us into. Matter of fact, it could be a intrusion to some of the things that you call sacred, and that is your very vital information, your personal information that they could place on a chip, give you a number, and then identify you any place on earth at any certain time. They could scan every purchase. It could actually keep a detailed tracking of your activities, where you travel, what you buy, what type of items that you buy, and things of this nature. And so then the world could plan for the trends, and they could be more positively prepared for what the need of mankind is. Now we've gone into metal-type hip replacements. We get these different knee replacements and things of this nature, and the steel pins and that they can put in your body. So the body will accept metal as part of its compositional makeup without any rejection. Now, what about a chip that is known and done, been tested and tried and proven about the size of a flattened out, not a, if you think if I tell you a grain of rice, that's the actual size in comparison. You would compare it to a grain of rice. But as technology advances another 5 years, probably that could be cut in half substantially to reduce the size. Even at the present time, they have technology to give you an implant with all these scripted datas of what we call digital response, electronic digital response, that can be read and scanned by any scanning system that's available even now, that they could implant these devices, and mankind could be better off as a result of this very thing. So why do we get into these type of messages, and why are they important for you as a citizen to be weary or wary, if you will, of these things that are coming on board in the last days in the disguised codes of betterment for mankind? Remember, ladies and gentlemen, there is no substitute for hard work. There is no substitute for eating good food. And now we have these systems where that they can predict the trends of mankind by simply scanning the shelves of the local supermarkets. And by the way, the RFID tags that are marked in Walmart, which is actually the largest corporation in the world, they brought these online here just in the last couple of years, and you've heard a lot about them, and you hear a lot of protesting that people don't like to have an item taken off the shelf that they can track plumb to your home. Well, they say it's for inventory control. That's why that they want this modern update technology placed into the system, and where we become like Chips Ahoy. Everything we carry away from the shelf will be actually identified through electronic UPC barcodes, or, if you will, the RFID tags of moving commodities, including people around the earth at any moment, that they could keep a tracking device on you at all times. And that's the problem with these things that are now becoming realities rather than science fiction. Now, 50 years ago, this would have all been science fiction prediction. And yet people predicted this over 100 years ago. And so we've had some very important spiritual, if you will, enlightenment coming down the road. But who has paid attention? You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if these things are due to come in, then there's nothing that we can do about it. Glory to God. And we might as well learn to live with these things. And I wouldn't get too frantic, or upset in the water here and jump ship. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we have come to the point where we must make hard decisions. And I believe that's what's coming. The Bible talks about a time of trouble coming such as never was and never will be again. So that's a specific area of trouble, and it specifically mentions here, and I'm going to read you the scripture, and it will frighten you in one way and give you hope in another, because every time I get in trouble, I actually have to turn back to the scripture for reference to hope for the future of Jacob Israel. Now, when I talk about Jacob Israel, I'm talking about an ethnic group of 12 tribes specifically mentioned in the Bible, two, four, and about, that were scattered abroad throughout the earth, and now there is a systematic search and destroy mission by the enemy to eliminate, reduce, and, you know, I've been teaching this for the last 15 years very strong that this is happening, and yet nobody seems to want to react, or those that do are very few. And of course the Bible says that this time will come upon us unaware. Now I want you to be, that's why I'm giving the sounding of the warning of these microchip implants, this tracking device, this, if you will, personal invasion, this government snooping, because they're going to have access to the overall data, the citizen spy programs, and, you know, that's what Homeland Security is encouraging you to do if you're seeing things suspicious in your area. Now, you have to not only watch what you do as a people that used to do things in a normal, natural way without any fear of retaliation, but now you have to watch your speech. Your speech cannot be judged anti-government. In case that it is, then you can get in serious trouble as a result of your speech. And you thought you had a right to free speech. Well, that's no longer necessarily true. And you don't even have to have a court date set to try you. If you are seen as a threat to our homeland security system, which will have all this convenience of microchip implants, tracking devices, spy programs, smart cards, biometric devices, the digital implants, the things that are coming up. And soon to a neighborhood near you, you will be systematically conditioned to accept these for the betterment, or for, if you will, we'll sell our very soul to a system that promised to protect us when it may become our worst nightmare. And this is where I see problems. Now, we've got the greatest government system. America's been long known as the greatest government upon the earth. We have many great men in this country. Our history books are filled with people that's made their mark for the betterment of the people of the world, particularly coming out of the United States. We're talking about not only great leadership, great politicians. We could go into some names, Lincoln to be one that would come to mind, Kennedy, and a few others over the years, a lot that we're not proud of. And it seemed like those that were more concerned with the benefit of the many and to the detriment of the few, only those who were interested in the benefit of the few and the detriment of the many survived. Now, that's odd. Wasn't it our own president that said, it is a government of the people, for the people? And when John Kennedy made his famous speech, when we were given the mission to go to the moon, think not of what your government can do for you, but think of what you can do for your government. Now, those days are long gone. The government no longer cares what you can do for them. They are actually involved daily in telling you what they can do for you. Whether you like it or not, it's become the norm with these liberal, radical liberal Supreme Court decisions that have come down just in the few short years of where this thing has taken, if you will, a lift, a sharp 180-degree turn in the system of politics, which is has been a two-way power struggle between Republican and Democrat. Third parties have very seldom become a deciding factor in the way our political system here in America is growing. But regardless, it seems like, of who we put in, and I have warned you repeatedly in the last series of Skull and Bones to get ready for, the only choice you have is to accept a Skull and Bones member as your chief leader. Now, we've had 4 years of George Bush. Now, George is telling you that he needs 4 more years to see that we're safe and that we cannot abandon our involvement in the world affairs because of national security. And yet we have spent billions of your tax dollars to go over to a country that has so far, and I wonder how long this will last, but I can say it safely at this point, there's no weapons of mass destruction, as we were told by every member of the president's cabinet, starting from the Secretary of State. I understand that he resisted going into Iraq, but he had to come on board and be a team player with the majority, including Mr. Bush that was in favor of us going to Iraq to bring in a better system for them. Well, there's been carnage, just like it was in Vietnam. Who coached us into Vietnam? Who tried to get us out? Those that were successful in getting us out became the scapegoats of the political system, and those that got us in became those who benefited most from the monetary gain. Well, let's look at Hal Burton. Let's look at our vice president and look how lucrative contracts, such lucrative contracts that were given down to Hal Burton, which, by the way, and it may be true, that they were possibly one of the two leading companies that were technically advanced or prepared to go in and take on a challenge such as Afghanistan or Iraq pose. And so then the government just basically give Hal Burton a walk-in bid with no other bids given, because the government was in such a hurry to get this done that they actually caved in to the pressures of suggesting that Hal Burton get all the contracts. Now, where all this money's going to is a nightmare. It's a quagmire. We got into another Vietnam, and I warned when we got into this, and I actually did a series of tapes. This was before we got into to Iraq. And I was going and referencing Vietnam. It should be fresh in our mind, but how soon we forget. But anyway, we went in, and I did a series of tapes that turned out to be very prophetic. And the name of the tape series that I did was Blood in the Sand. And I literally meant a bloodletting on the 33rd parallel. Now, I gave you the spiritual implications of the Illuminati, why they wanted to go into war in this 33rd parallel area, that they might establish a gate, if you will, and a time gate. Remember, sealed beneath the Euphrates in the Bible. Why would the Bible use a descriptive term of Euphrates? And we know this has spiritual connotations. I'm not denying that, and I want to bump it up to a spiritual setting to explain to you why that I believe that this is the beginning of the loosening of the 200 million demons that are chained beneath the Euphrates that demanded an actual bloodletting in this particular 33rd parallel zone, where that these demonic demons could be leashed for the final battle, or for the mark of the beast, if you will, and for the great struggle between the children of light and the children of darkness. Now, I'm going to give you that scripture that I've read many times here in my prophetic messages. As you listen to the Ring of Fire, this is Pastor Buddy. We're on worldwide radio tonight, WWCR 5070, and we're glad to have you aboard. Listen to the scripture. This is in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Now, 30, verse 7 says, "Alas." In other words, awaken. Prepare. What did Christ say? He said, in that day, there will be a great torment of fear. Now, what do we have to fear today? Well, we've got to fear that we're not going to be terrorized from the sky or from the sea. And we've got, ladies and gentlemen, whether you remember it or not, we have a mighty arsenal of nuclear. An actual threat to our national security. Now, that's not been mentioned. Have you heard anybody mention that the Soviet Union or Red China, get ready for this, ladies and gentlemen, because this is going to blow you out of the water with your mindset of Christianity and the way you've been taught to believe, or even the tiny nation of Israel. Now, they have access to international waters. They are free to go in international waters, and we only command about a 20-mile radius of what we consider homeland security waters. Anything else can float out there in the sea. They have, I'm telling you, terrible destruction at their command. One launch, and within minutes, the United States could be ablaze from one end to the other. We could have a holocaust. We could have a nuclear nightmare. We could actually have Armageddon waged right here without even thinking about the implications, because we're so wrapped up in homeland security by some Arab bringing in a plane without any nuclear weapons on board. Ladies and gentlemen, why have we reduced our fear concepts from the 50s when we had a petrified, holy fear of Russia and the Chinese of being our communist enemies? Have you heard them in the news lately, that the threat from them has diminished, and the threat of some poor Arab riding Clyde the camel over here to blow us up, when they can commandeer a plane without any, if you will? Well, let me back this up and think about this for a moment. I'm telling you, something was either on that plane that hit the Twin Towers, that 9-1-1 event, and I was doing a radio show the night before 9-1-1. I did a radio show concerning these very things, and of all things, in September the 11th of 2001, we had this terrible terrorist attack with no nuclear weapons involved. But we seen this horrible, I mean, it was film. We saw the plane, we saw the impact, and yet there was something on board that plane, or was there, something wired in the building to make it systematically implode? I'm not indicting anything. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a lot of unanswered questions about 9-1-1 that perhaps, just because of national security, we'll never know. And now the president is facing a 9-1-1 inquiry into when did he know, and what did he know, and all of the stuff that we heard at Watergate. This is old hat. This is like the sly of the hand and the shell game. They keep us hoping that something's going to come out and we get the green light to really get behind. We know something is behind this other than the Arabs that were on board who have never been named. And we have confusion, and now we have fighting within the spy systems that we have designed, supposed to be the greatest spy system in the world, the CIA and the FBI. Now they're at each other's throats. And now they're trying to indict the president. They're saying, well, it wasn't their fault. The president, it's passing the buck thing. And here we are. We're struggling, as we are in Iraq, with the blood in the sand of our American freedom fighters, as we call ourselves now. And yet our reputation from World War II, when we went into Germany and killed over 40 million Aryan Germans, to get ourselves not only caught up in Korea in the 1951, actually it was a struggle against communism. It went from Nazism to communism. And we've gone from one world war to a skirmish, the Korean War, and the 56,000 boys that died over there would be insulted if I called it strictly a skirmish. It was a war designed for the enrichment of the pockets of the military complex and the supporting cast that filled their coffers, their, if you will, the boards that ruled in that day, it actually made them rich. And we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, people that can finance both sides of the war and care little for the blood that's shed, because you see, you're just a number anyway. And that's what our message is about tonight, a number. Well, you're a number to the Father, and I'm going to tell you how. The very hairs on your head are numbered. The Bible says in 37, Jeremiah, it's a time of Jacob's trouble. The very hairs of Jacob's head are numbered. And now, Jacob's count is being reduced drastically to the point where Jacob's prophets, who I consider myself a prophet of the house of Israel, I only prophesy to, for, and about the house of Israel. The lost sheep is to whom I direct my message tonight. I've got no other message than for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's time for you to be found. It's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to be counted. Now, let me show you how you're going to count yourself. The Bible says that the very hairs on your head, Jacob, Israel, the Father knows them that are His. And yet, although you've been asleep, although you have slept through the guise of Christianity, which has become, and I hate to say this because I'm indicting some of my own Jacob Israelites, that most of us are still bound in the bail box, these churches that are rocking and lulling us to sleep day by day, Sunday after Sunday, we hear the same old message of pray and pay and prosper. Well, isn't that what the scripture says in the last days? Even when the last trump is blown, they will be eating and drinking and being merry. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to come together to have what we consider a countdown. A countdown not only for our very existence, because the Bible says, listen to this very frightening scripture. And I believe this scripture, now I'm not talking about the rest of the world, I'm talking about an ethnic group in the earth, that the Bible said the time of trouble will be so drastic and so great that the Bible says there will be none of this ethnic flesh saved unless there's a divine intervention. Now let me go back and give you some scriptural basis for my saying that and to verify it with scripture. As it was in the days of Noah, there was a man named Noah. And the Bible said in his genetic identification number of his DNA, he was from a specific group of people in the earth. He wasn't like all the other people. He was different. His blood count, his DNA, his chip, if you will, his identification code. And the Bible knows them that are, the Bible says that Yahweh knows them that are His. And you can believe that He knew exactly the number of those who had not taken the mark of the beast, or the mark of Babylon, which was the first world system that fell. And when Christ come back to put a ridiculous system out of touch, that even the very elect had dropped their own sacred identification back to the Father and had joined Babylon, the world system, and that's how it's going to be in the last days, ladies and gentlemen. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. We're coming back into the same identification system that was on board. And let it be known right now that Yahweh Himself has a numbering identification system on board your very being. Your very heartbeat is being monitored. Your electrical response is being numbered. The very hairs on your head in this great identification are being counted daily to see where you're at in the scheme of things in the last days. And the Bible says, will I? This is a challenge to you tonight, and I offer this as a challenge. Will I find faith on earth when I return? Jacob's trouble. There'll be a time of trouble. Listen to this. It is so great oh my, this is so fearful. And I could climax this thought in Daniel chapter 12, the first four verses. This goes identical to Daniel 12, who looked into the prophetic future, and he saw a time of trouble such as never was, and here is identified with a great weeping prophet, Jeremiah, warning an ethnic group of people, a small group. My people are the fewest people compared to the rest of the world. Yahweh's ethnic group of people are now at 9% of the world's population. And yet out of that 9%, only less than 2% of those are prepared to meet the Father in peace. The rest of them are eating and drinking and being merry and have joined the enemy, thinking that they're doing God a service. Will come to the point in my third message of the Ring of Fire, I will tell you that we have, and this is all in defense of a better ideal, the betterment of, you see, there's no use for the United States to not be prepared for some kind of a great invasion. Don't we need prisons? Did you know that there are hundreds and hundreds of prisons that are not on the national security or on the national registry of prisons? You'll never see them because they're under the FEMA control guidelines of information that is available to the average John Doe in the public to know what his government is doing with his money or with the intelligence that they have to prepare us for an enemy that has now become an Arab on Clyde the camel, as he comes riding into our hearts, producing fear. Now, Osama bin Laden has become one of our greatest enemies all of a sudden. He used to work for the CIA. Now, I don't know what went wrong there, but anyway, he's become a terrorist threat to the national security of the United States, and he's in some hole, they say, in probably perhaps Afghanistan or some Arab country that has given him a haven or hiding him out, and that he has a two-way radio, and he's in touch with a Taliban network. And ladies and gentlemen, they probably don't have the RPGs. It's about the heaviest explosive power. They can use dynamite. I know that. They supposedly killed some of our Marines in Lebanon, and the evidence supports that that we've made enemies out there. It don't take rocket science to figure out that we've made enemies around the world. Have we done it deliberately, or has our policy of national security, has it become so far to the left, or in this case, so far to the right of center line thinking, that we have now become overwhelmingly in support of one people to destroy the other people, that we're so lost that we've made so many enemies, and yet the greatest enemy that we could have could be among us rather than out from us or in a foreign-based country, that our only enemy, and I said this in the Skull and Bones series of Take 4, I believe it was, about the tunnel system that's beneath the earth. Now, some of this is for national security. Some is for business ventures. Some is for, if you will, offensive reasons that the government could go on the offensive and fight a war from beneath the earth as opposed to upon the earth, because most of our terror can come not from on the surface of the earth, and I've pointed out that the seas are filled with nuclear-tipped instant destruction, that all of a sudden, in the last 10 years, we hear very little since the collapse of communism and the Soviet Union. We no longer have a threat from them, that they've become civil and they're not posing as a threat, and yet they are still there, still prepared with enough nuclear tilt destruction to destroy the United States 20 times over. Now, this is 20 times overkill. That means on a ratio of 1 to 20, they have 20 times the megaton delivery weapon systems available to deliver. That they would do it 20 times over what would be normal kill. And this is called 20 time overkill. So then we have lost sight to perhaps the real enemy. And we are now chasing cloud on the camel enemy when we should return back to sane, intelligent, logical thinking as to what's going on. Now, to finish the scripture up and to get ready to close out our message tonight, alas, for that great day, there is none like it. I want you to think about that. The identification systems of the implant, these, if you will, these digital angels that are flying in the heavens, this GPS global tracking position, OnStar devices for your automobiles, Intel chips that are available now. The technology is here to chip every person, man, woman, and child, upon the planet with the B system of the computer, if you will. It operates its main function numbers, believe it or not, is 666, and that's in a natural setting. I know there's a spiritual setting that we could raise that up to, but we're trying to give you the vital signs to read your own psychic being, if you will, in the ring of fire. Ladies and gentlemen, you are fixing to have a ring of fire put in your nose. You're going to be led to places you wouldn't want to go. You're going to be tortured like you never wanted to be. You are going to be thrust into a time of trouble. Listen to me very careful. I'm serious tonight. I'm speaking to you from the bottom of my heart. You may not hear this message many more times in the near future. It could end tonight. Let us pray that the Heavenly Father will prepare a people with His identification system in their heart. That means courage in the face of fear. Courage to stand up for what's right as opposed to the short-term benefits of going with what's wrong. Remember, the Bible said that Moses forsook the treasures and the pleasures of Egypt for a season to suffer and endure the hardships of 40 years of a murmuring, complaining, negative, rebellious, stiff-necked people. And his same thing today, the prophets of truth have become the prophets of doom. You see, you're not popular when you preach negative doom day messages. You're only popular when you go and have them swinging in the aisles and dancing to the what I call jungle bunny music in the aisles of these Christian churches today that have gone to the ear tickling system of lulling you to sleep and putting you in a time of trouble. And here it is. It's a time that there's none like it. It is a time. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get this out. If I get nothing out tonight on the Ring of Fire, part two message, it will be a time of Jacob's trouble. Now, who was Jacob? Jacob was a man that was born to a set of parents who had a covenant. Isaac and Rebecca were the parents of Jacob of Israel. Israel had 12 sons. These are the sons of promise. These are the sons that you can systematically write the Bible about. This is too foreign about these sons, a specific ethnic group that are in the earth. And compared to the rest of the world in numbers, they are the smallest people in the earth. And yet, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, this is okay for you. Only one-third of the house of Jacob Israel will be refined in the end to come through the fire. Two-thirds will sleep on in the bell boxes, eating, drinking, and being merry, going about their life as if time would continue forever. And the Bible is calling for an identification time to choose this day who you'll serve. Are you going to take the mark? Are you going to take the chip? Are you going to be concerned with these things? Or are you going to be down at the local watering hole, eating, drinking, and being merry? And that could be both spiritual, physical, and mental. All these conveniences of pleasure seekers. You may be playing golf when he comes back. I hope not. I hope that you're preaching the gospel of deliverance. You may be down at the local racetrack betting on the ponies. I hope not. You may be down at the Dry Gulch Saloon where you're wetting your whistle. I hope not, because you wouldn't want to be found eating and drinking with the merry, would you? Or would you choose this day? It's identification time, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I see that my time is coming on, and ladies and gentlemen, I want you to pray about next week's message. I'm going to get into an area where that we believe that these concentration camps located in specific areas, strategically placed, by the way. And of course, this is all in homeland preparation. You never know when an invading army is going to come from the foreign fields and invade us. And so then we would have to have occupation zones where we could fill these concentration camps. We had them, by the way, you know that. That we put the Japanese nationals and the German nationals that were here, if they had direct bloodline back to these countries, they were imprisoned or put in concentration camps and held and detained for security purposes. And that's only natural, but it's logical, too. There's logic in that. And yet, they may be, these camps may be made for you. The American citizen, the average American citizen could be finding himself housed in one of these in the times to come. And I'm going to get into that next Sunday night, so you don't want to miss part three of The Ring of Fire. This is part two, and if you'd like to have this series, there'll be a four-part series on The Ring of Fire. We could make it valuable for you tonight, praise Yahweh. So you just write us, call us, or talk to us about these exciting series. Now, we just got through with the Skull and Bone series, these five in that, if you'd like to have that series. We got through with that with the five-part series of the Serpent Seed, the reptilians, and their impact on the coming implosion, if you will. I talked about the implosion of the Twin Towers. It looked like that they imploded. Well, was there enough? And there was no weapons of mass destruction on board, ladies and gentlemen. It wasn't a mass destruction weapon 757 that flew into the Pentagon. It was proven that it had to be some type of a missile. Well, do the Arabs have missile technology? I don't reckon. But anyway, they got blamed for it. Do we have ability to control the planes? Can we lock out the pilots? Even the pilots that were on board the American flight that could no longer control their planes. Was it possible? Yes, they proved in the investigation that they do have the technology. It just so happened that the planes that flew were those who were adaptable to these control devices, and we wonder about that. These questions, and I hope that the 911 investigation will uncover and give us some green light for this, just as the chip is coming down. Now, if you'd like to comment on that, this is Pastor Buddy, 423-626-2172. That's Pastor Buddy. 423-626-2172. Give me a call after the broadcast is over with. I'll be glad to talk with you and take your call if you'd like to order tapes or whatever you'd like to do. I'd like to talk with you. So give me a call. If the line's busy, call back and don't give up. We need to talk to you. There's a lot of things that we cannot tell you on the radio publicly because of the controversies and because of things that that we wouldn't want to get into in a public forum. So you call us. Now you can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. Now, if you'd like to call my sponsor tonight, it's Dr. Gary, and he will be glad to take your call. Call between the hours of 9 and 5 weekdays, Central Time down there. So call Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, or Dr. Jack at 1-888-281-7320. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been very, very blessed to be in your midst tonight. May the Heavenly Father give you riches. May He give you blessings. And may you listen to this song as we go up there tonight. And remember that there's a day coming for Jacob. You're going to have to rise up and be counted. Yahweh bless you.
And that's the flag of defeat. Oh, God, oh, God. Oh, if you finally take a stand, you go far for defeat. To arms, and on the peace for defeat. To arms, and on the peace for defeat. Oh, the northern sun, the modern northern flag, and that we've got it to arms. They will defeat. And the fact that this is the flag of them on the first of mine to arms. To learn, and 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 to learn,